Good morning, each and every one of you, and I want to welcome you to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. The great metropolis of the Lord. Amen. Now, I thank God that, in all honesty, I believe every city, every region, I believe every place is destined for a God outpouring. But I thank God that we get to be here because I'm telling you, there's an expectation that every one of us needs to have about God and about his goodness and about what he's yet going to do in our lives. Amen? And I want to just thank you for being here this morning. I'm excited to have you with us today. And I'm excited about what God is doing in each of our lives. Amen? I just want to give you a quick update on the building. We got the plumbing in there in the first couple days of this week. They should come and put the underground conduit under. And then Thursday and Friday, that's what the cement contractor is saying. Thursday and Friday, they should be able to pour, as long as the electrical people get their part done. They'll be able to do the flat pour of our base for the whole building. And then it'll be off to erecting the building itself. Amen. So you guys can give the Lord a hand clap on that. Keep that up in prayer because I'm not harassing, but I do visit every contractor out there, and I declare over them. I say, hey, listen, we are believing God for your business and more so for your families. We're believing God to bless you and touch your lives, and if there's any need you have, please let me know. We'll pray for you because we're believing God for blessing to be upon your families and just goodness to come upon your business just because you're here. Helping us. We believe that you're the first people that are going to be blessed on this land. Amen? I'm excited because I've heard a number of people. I met a young man at the hospital. I went to pray for somebody, and I met a young man, and he says, oh, yeah, during my breaks, I parked my truck out on your property. I didn't know that was you guys' church. He said, but I park out there because it's just so peaceful out there. So I'm telling you, God is preparing that place. You know, I think this is neat. But the other day, someone captured a picture of two children sitting on our back steps. They don't come to church here, but they parked their bikes out there, and they sat on our steps and had a conversation. I want you to know that you are bringing peace and goodness to this area, and you need to be aware of the fact that just because you don't see everything, you have no idea just how much impact you are truly making. So continue to live for God, continue to love people, and continue to make room in your life for God to use you for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Amen? So I just want you to be excited, and I want you to get ready to join ourselves, and I just want us to be touched by God today. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, God, for all that you have done and all that you will do, God. Lord, we declare your glory, God. And Father, right now, I stand here and God, literally, as it were, souls are flashing up before my eyes, God. Families are just flashing before my eyes. Children, God. Father, the Bible says that the laborers are few, but the harvest is great. And Lord, I pray that we would strengthen ourselves and do our part within the harvest and the work of the kingdom. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. praise Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you what. In the middle of fear, in the middle of your hardest moment, when you get that bad report, when things rise up and they're speaking against your identity, they're speaking against every promise that God has given you, I tell you what, that's when you need to raise your hallelujah. That's when you need to sing a melody. I'm telling you, because Jesus is coming to fight for you. Amen.
The louder we get.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I love
louder
that.
Louder and louder. I'm going to drown out the other noise with my praise.
Well, you know, it's so powerful because the song says, I need to praise louder than my unbelief. And I want to remind you that blind Bartimaeus was blind for his whole life. And when he first cried out to say, Lord, I pray that you would heal me, everybody had a voice against him. And blind Bartimaeus just said, oh, yeah, you're right, I forget. I'm not blind, I've been here all this time. No, no, no. They said that they said, hey, shut up and don't trouble your master. And said, blind Bartimaeus cried out more the louder. Amen. I tell you what, the next time that devil tries to speak to you and say you're crazy for believing anything different than what you're seeing right now, that's when you need to speak a little louder. Amen. Go ahead and cry out. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, I think that song will be singing us right into our new building. Amen. I really do. I'm telling you, I believe that that's going to be a part of our journey to somewhere between October and November. Amen.
We're
going
to rest you this stuff right here because we have to
get. Oh, yeah,
we do. So we're not going to get us today, but we have to scoot out of here. We have a graduation.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, we got some other family events going on today that are starting to be the Lord's faithful, amen? Amen. I want you to know that college is a part of our destiny and a part of our future as much as we don't like it. You know, I want you to know that sometimes as Christians, too many times we want to sign up for faith because we think it's going to make everything easy, amen? The Bible says that when much is given, much is required. So you're going to sign up for faith in your life is definitely going to be way better. But also, you're going to have some challenges with them there. So right before we let the children go, I do want to make an announcement, though. See that beautiful couple back there? Oh, my goodness. This is Jim and Sonny's 7th wedding anniversary, praise God. They were probably one of, if we not the first wedding, I believe they were the first wedding we did in our first year of being here as Only Believe Ministries, amen? And boy, they are blessed and living strong. We're recounting some of the challenges. Hallelujah. We're recounting some of the challenges that they even had, but God has showed himself so faithful, amen? And so, so while we celebrate our first wedding here, guess what? We got another wedding that we're getting ready to do. So look over on this side of the room and go ahead if you can stand up or at least wave at us. Hallelujah. So that's Randy and Mary and our Jean A. Praise God. Jean A. right here in the house. We are going to be taking wedding vows and the blessing of God is going to come upon them. It already has. We're already receiving favor, but I'm excited because I believe some things are going to happen for them as a result of them getting married that is really even going to declare who they are in God even more. Amen? So we're going to be looking as a church family to join with them on June 8th in the afternoon. I think it's going to be around 2:30, but we'll confirm that. And but congratulations to them, and it's going to be exciting. Amen? Listen, this is who we are. We're a family. A family. And God's going to continue to build us. Amen? So we'll let children go to children's church. Hallelujah. you. I know some of you are wishing you were as lucky as they were and didn't have to deal with my voice all the time, but hallelujah. I want to just declare something to you, and I don't know if this is so much an offering message as it is just a declaration of who we are and some things that fall in line with offering. But it says here in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Least haply, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." Now this is Jesus speaking, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king sitteth not down first and counteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned?" See, I want to tell you something that I believe sometimes in this world, we are so grace-filled, we overskew grace for the fact that with grace comes accountability. And I want you to know, take the full measure of the grace and the goodness and the mercy of God. He's a forgiving, kind, loving God, but also, along with that piece of the Bible, you got to be accountable to every other piece of the Bible. You can't grab the grace of God and then go live in any old way you want to. The very fact that we sign up for the grace of God means that we're going to humbly submit ourselves to Christ's ability to help us live the life that God would have us live. Amen? And I want you to know that when it comes to tithing and offering, we talk about these things, and I want you to know that in Matthew 23:23, the Lord said, "Listen, you should give your tithes and offerings, but don't forsake the weightier things of the law, like mercy, forgiveness, and judgment, and how we live our life." So when we look at what's called upon us as Christians, remember, we have counted the whole cross. And when we say that we're saved and then bought with the price, we're saying, "God, I'm not just going to apply you to the areas of my life that feel good or look good." Hallelujah. We're going to apply the wisdom of God to every area of our life, and we're going to hold ourselves accountable. We're going to hold ourselves accountable not to live by the guidelines of men, but to live by the guidelines of God. Amen? So that means that just as the world adjusts what it believes is right and wrong, we stick to what the Bible says. Amen? So let's be people of accountability. We are, you are, but let's just keep pressing towards what God would have for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that, Lord, without fail, you come with the cross. God, I thank you that when you took counsel, even amongst yourself, God, God, that you made a declaration that by Jesus' work, you declared the full commitment you have for us. And Lord, today, by our worship, by taking time out of our schedule to come to be in the house of God, by our tithes and offerings, and by our commitment to live and have a good name within you, we are doing our part now to not only just count the cost, but enjoy the benefits of being a child of the living God. Now, Father, I just declare your blessing, your grace, your mercy upon every person here, Father. Lord, I thank you that you rebuke the devourer on our benefit, on our behalf. I thank you, God, that you take everything you would give and you press it down to good measure and you give back into our lives in great abundance, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for your precious covenant. We count the cost and we run our race with joy, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. tell you what, I like the fact that it's a hot day today. Amen. And it gets to be a little uncomfortable, amen. Because I tell you what, these are days you get to share, amen. Hallelujah. And I know you guys are visiting with us, but you're part of the family. So I get to give you a little vision book from our building project. But anyhow, what I want to say is that I'm excited about today. Because moments like this help me remember where we began and where we're going to. Listen, we need to remember moments like this because when we get to that new building and it's all air conditioning and carpeted, I don't want us to forget that every day on the journey of our faith is not always going to be an easy day. But every day on our journey of faith, when we give room for God, will be a day of blessing, a day of overcoming, and a day where God helps us successfully navigate life. Amen? And I want to talk to you today because the Lord says that He has come to give us life and that life much more abundantly. Amen? And I want you to know something, that as a church and as the body of Christ, I'm just going to challenge us today to remind ourselves that we are part of a supernatural nation. Amen? Oh, come on. I got to dig in here. See, sometimes we act like we're mere men or we're mere people, according to the word, having a journey, but the Lord says that we are aliens to this world. Amen? The Bible says that we're pilgrims, and the Bible says that as believers in God, we have to see ourselves the way God sees us, and we have to believe about people the way God wants us to believe about people. And so we're going to dig right into this scripture today, and we're just going to challenge ourselves to make sure that when we live our life in unity and in perspective with the Lord Himself. Amen? I want to remind you that here in Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin to read in verse 24 of Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, say after faith has come. In other words, faith comes by us hearing the preaching of the gospel. Faith comes when we get the revelation of Jesus Christ and we receive Him as Lord and Savior. So now faith has come upon us, and the minute we step into the arena of faith, being saved as the children of God, something changes. And it says right here, after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I want to remind you that years ago, there's a time in the Bible where the Lord said, Abraham, come ye out. Get you away from your father's house. Get you out of the land you know, and come to a land where I'm going to show you that you might walk in the blessedness and the power of being the way I want you to live life. Amen? Now, I want you to understand something that we have heard the scriptures before, but we've touched just too lightly on it because, as we know, in this scripture, God is certainly not trying to ignore the Jew nor the Greek. Amen? In fact, there's room for everybody in the body of Christ. In fact, the Bible says that the name of Jesus being taught must be in every nation. And what I want you to know is that while the world accepts all these other gods and looks for all these ways, I want you to know that the Lord for the world is Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him resurrected. And I want you to know that the Bible says that when we come into Him, we lose the identification of the Jew or the Greek or even the American, and certainly the Republican and the Democrat, all those things fall on the side of the fact that we, in our first responsibility above all, is to be children of God. Oh, come on. And if you're going to be a child of God, it means that the nation you live in may make rules and laws that they approve of, and they may make rules and laws that they go by, and they might justify things in the law, but you don't touch that, and you don't join yourself to it, because you live above that under the laws and the guidelines of God himself. Amen? Oh, come on. Yep. You got to get into the right place. Because when we look at these scriptures here, and we come to that scripture that says that there's neither male nor female, hello, we've really got to know that God is not expecting us to ignore male nor female, because it's the predication of all life, all humanity. The Lord said that, Adam, you are not good enough by yourself, young man. As handsome as you are, I got to make you a helpmeet and a partner that can come alongside of you. So male and female is a part of our unification. And here's what I also want you to know, is that when I'm saying this, I'm telling you that I'm not afraid to say publicly that we cannot rewrite the identification that God gives humanity. Now listen to me, it does not mean that we're afraid of any situation that anybody's in today. I mean, it's clear in the Bible, even under the law, the Lord gave guidelines of what humanity should do and should not do. God gave guidelines for what kind of relationship should be held between a man and a man, and a woman and a woman, and a male and a female. Hello, in the Bible, God even gave guidelines of how we should relate with animals. Did you hear what I said? God even gave guidelines of how humanity ought to relate with animals. So here's what I'm telling you. I'm bringing you to this point because I want every one of us to be stirred up in our heart to understand that no matter where a person finds themselves at, God has already made resolution for their life to be healed. What I'm challenging you as a church is to get over ourselves in terms of things that freak us out, things that are too much for us, things that we can't handle. Just get over yourself and stop all that, because there's no telling where people may come in when they come through that door. But if we will look beyond the outward circumstances, if we will look beyond what we can just see and know with our scientific mind and our natural man, then I'm telling you that we can look in the heart of everybody with love, hope, and with the compassion, and we can see them with the God potential that belongs to every person on this earth to be set free by. Listen, I really want us to break free from thinking that just because someone has had this background or this background, just because someone has come from here to there and been through this and this, listen, I make no excuses for the horrors that have happened to humanity. I make no excuses for the terrible, tragic things that have happened to humanity. But the one thing I want you to be bolder about than you've ever been is that it doesn't matter if it's the Jew, the Greek, the male, the female. It doesn't matter if you're up or down. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're spinning in circles at the time. When Jesus comes in, let's rejoice in the Christ potential that can turn any situation. Oh, come on. What am I saying? I'm going to bring it down to you. That you see how the doors of this church are open to God? It tells us that we have the capacity that no matter who walks through that door, hallelujah, we can believe them for the God potential opportunity for them to be all that they have a right to be. Amen? Come on, I'll make it a little more plain for you. Some of you, you know, we're not the biggest town in the world. But we're the biggest, greatest city in the world, hallelujah. In Ohio. Oh, it is definitely God's city, but we might not be the most populated city in the world. So you might see someone walk through that door, and you might say, they've been down at the bar Saturday night, and Sunday night, and if they had money, they'd be at the bar Monday night. Take that attitude and leave it outside. Don't just leave it outside the church. Leave it outside outside of your thinking and your capacity, because I want you to know, as a church that believes in Jesus, the one thing we need to believe is in the potential that's resident in every person God has created. I want to remind you that this is why Jesus was able to look at the woman caught in adultery, and he never accused her, he never confirmed her lifestyle, he never agreed. But what he did was he fought with tenaciousness to not allow anybody to define him. He refused to say that just because he's been here, I don't care if it was 5 minutes ago, just because he's been here, I refuse to put this woman to death and let her identity die here, because he has the potential to walk away from here and never be in this place ever again in life. Amen? Woo! I want you to know that it is accountable for us to believe beyond what we can see. Are we going to deny male and female? No. Are we going to ignore Jew and Greek? No. You can't make me no more white than I can make you black. Your skin color is going to be what your skin color is. Well, I guess medically I can go get myself bleached out a little bit, but it ain't going to happen. I'm just fine and excited about the color God gave me. And guess what? I'm fine and excited about the color God gave you. So we're not going to sit here and deny the heritage of our natural nature, but what we are going to do is understand that potential of your God nature is what matters in the life of every person that we will ever come across. Listen to this. I don't care if you're black, white, blue, or green. When you sit down in mathematics, they teach you 1 + 1 = 2. I want to know, I've been in Africa, and I went to school, and guess what? 1 + 1 = 2 in Africa. And so what I want you to know is that it really doesn't matter, and I'm not saying this disrespectfully, it doesn't matter if you come from a drug background, an alcoholic background. It doesn't matter if you come from an abused background. It doesn't matter if you come from a rich background. It doesn't matter if you come from a white or a black background. I tell you what, when we come into the house of God, the thing we need to keep in common is that Jesus Christ and Him crucified, resurrected, has saved our lives. And we are going to journey towards people with a love and a belief and a faith that you might be here today, but I'm excited about where you're going to be tomorrow. Amen? I want us to really grab a hold of the fact that the Lord said, my goodness, right here in the Scripture. For you are all one. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, the sooner we break down some of our barriers, the sooner we break down some of our thinking, the sooner we stop framing people in their old identities, the sooner we will see people and have the compassion in our heart, like Jesus, to believe them for the supernatural. You ever notice that nobody ever came up to Jesus and said, blind by the man, how long have you been blind? Your whole life? No. He said, let's get up and let's get going. He went to the woman at the well, and he said, how many times have you been married? He said, 5. And he said, what are you on now, my sixth relationship? Well, he said, God, forget your sister. No. He said, listen to me, as soon as I give you this river of living water, you won't thirst in a way that keeps you from able to balance out your relationship. You can have it all, sister. Woo, praise God, hallelujah. Remember, the Lord never came up to the man that was paralyzed in his birth and said, how long have you been sitting out there? Oh, you know, no. He said, take up that bed and just sleep in it at night. But all day long and up to the evening till you wear yourself out, brother, I want you running on new legs from this day forward. Amen? It's time for us to think about where we are limiting God for what He can really do in the lives of people. Time for us to think with a God potential and a God nature. Amen? I want to take you over here to the book of John, chapter First John chapter 4. And I want to read something to you today that we read oftentimes, but I just want to dig in and take a look at it. Because it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in that day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. You know what? I want you to know that this scripture says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You know, oftentimes we will read that scripture and we believe that the Lord is just talking about the big day of judgment. Amen? And let me tell you something. He has given us a time for the big day of judgment, and you need to know that you're saved, and I pray that you have the boldness to believe that when the Lord comes back and the judgment day of the Lord comes, the blood of Christ is upon our life, and we can go in there and know we're going to receive mercy. I want you to believe that. But I want you to understand that there are often times of judgment where love has been made perfect, and we need to see it and know it so we can believe for the next day. I want each and every one of us to think about the time before we were saved. How much we failed God. Maybe we were on drugs. Maybe we were in the bar. I'm telling you, maybe we were fighting, sleeping, or anything that would mean there's no telling what we were doing and where we were at. But I'm telling you that when perfect love, we might have heard it preaching, we might have been at home, we might have heard it off of TV, but when perfect love of the availability of Jesus Christ came into our life, that moment of perfect love transformed us. Amen? Have you ever been in a moment where you were sick, hurt, and broken, but something happened, and a moment of judgment was upon you, but the perfect love of God came and brought you out of that moment? Listen, it's time for us to start remembering that perfect love is not something that's just going to work on the day of redemption and the day of us going up. But perfect love is available to work in your life every day that you have a need. God is there. Every situation that comes up that needs a judgment, I'm telling you, if you will cry out, God wants to give you an answer on that day. Listen, the day of judgment can happen to us more often than just the final day when we stand before the Lord and every need of God. And I'm telling you that the perfect love of God is around you. It's what brought you to this point. And it's time for us as believers to start believing God that his perfect love is working in our life all the time. I tell you what, we come up against tough situations. A tough situation does not define that you're not where you should be with God. A tough situation defines the fact that you're living on this earth. A tough situation declares that you're living your life on a day-to-day basis. The very fact that we're alive and living represents the fact that tough situations are going to come our way. The Bible says that Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be at peace. I've overcome it. And what God's expectation is that when life gets hard, when your health goes to the wayside, when things rise up, when all of a sudden you get a bad phone call you never expected to happen, when bills come your way that you never thought were going to come, when you sign up to take on a job and it's rougher than you thought it was, when hardships come your way, I want you to understand that that is not an indictment against your faith. It's a time to move and use your faith. Listen, perfect love for that day of judgment. Listen, some of us may have felt a day of judgment even this week. Some of us had situations happen. Maybe something didn't work out the way you thought it. Maybe a relationship was wrong. Maybe a health problem rose up. Maybe something, just a mental fear or anxiety came upon you and it possessed you and grabbed a hold of you this week. message, I'm telling you, it's a moment for the perfect love of God. It's time for us to deny the spirit of fear, anxiety, vain imagination, and worry over our tomorrow for the future. It's time for us to have a confidence that the Lord says, I know the facts I have for you, good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected outcome. Doesn't mean that He won't put you on a boat and it don't get rocky. Doesn't mean that on the boat the Lord puts you on, that the waves might not come splashing and beating. Likelihood is they are. But it means that once the Lord ignites you and gets to journey with you on that, doesn't matter how hard the storms may be, God is going to bring you through, and you are going to see victory, and you're going to see outcome, and you're going to see the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. I just want to bring you to a little story here that we probably know well, but I want to preach something a little different out of it for you today. And it's out of the book of Mark chapter 5. Say, boy, that book of Mark chapter 5 is a book of miracles. But anyhow, in this chapter alone, there's a man that has a very stressful mental condition brought on by devils that's attacking him. And there's another person that passes away in the Lord resurrects him. Same chapter. If you can do that in one chapter for these people, my goodness, what in the world can we do for you? But anyhow, that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the demonic life and what happened to him. So we're going to look in this chapter because in the book of Mark chapter 5, there was a man that was thrown outside of his city because he was so possessed of devils, and he acted insane and did all kinds of crazy stuff and was cutting stuff and just caused such problems. They even tried to just restrain him and it couldn't be done. But it says here that in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he, Jesus, was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in place, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, and ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of that man, thou unclean spirit. Now, I want to tell you that we could go into the fact that the spirits came out and they went into the swine and all this other stuff, and we've heard a lot of conversation about that, but that's not my focus today. First of all, I want you to know that going forward, as of today, I want you to know that I strongly support science, medical research, medicine, all of the things that we have available to you. I want you to know that I believe in it. I'll tell you what, if you come to me for prayer, I'll pray for you, but I also say, go down and get yourself checked out, and let's see what the doctor says. And some things will happen immediately, some things will happen over time. I want you to know that. But I want you to understand that just like this man was tied up in fetters and chains that could not restrain him nor protect his life, I want you to know that just because we have a lot of medical advancements and medicine and everything is good today, it doesn't mean that we think that's the end all, and it does not stop the miraculous process of God's ability to heal us, because I want to remind you that in the Bible, there was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. She went as much as she could to the physicians and the doctors, but when she came to the end of herself and the end of what they could do, she restored Jesus, and immediately she was set free. Amen?
so when I talk about this stuff, I want you to understand that I give all respect to these things, but I think that we need to be careful that in today's world, we've almost brought medicine and all this stuff up to equal Jesus Christ, and we cannot do that. Because I want you to see here that this man had been bound by all the knowledge they knew at that time. Everything they knew to do had been done to this man, and nothing could help him, and nothing could change him. And I want to challenge you as a church member. I want to challenge you as an individual. Because oftentimes we don't read far enough. Or we read just far enough to the slides and all that stuff, and we forget about hearing the totality of the matter from the Jesus perspective. So I'm going to skip over that couple of pieces. And I'm going to go right to verse 14. And it says, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in all the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done." Now listen. "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil." They had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were out of faith. Why weren't they the first? Well, come on. See, I've got to dig into this a little bit here. As the people that love Jesus. Why is it that we can put so much faith in where people are, what they've done, and how devastated their life is, but we will put very little faith or notification in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? See, they were willing to go tell the story about the pigs and the swine. They were willing to go tell all the dynamics of this man and what his past was. But suddenly, when they saw the reality of what Jesus could really do, they were afraid. I'll tell you what, I never want to be a part of the church that says, "Well, the Lord don't speak to people today. Well, the Lord healed people in the disciples' time and the apostles' time just because that was the beginning of the church." No, no, no. I tell you what, I want to be a part of the church that still believes that no matter how bound someone is, it doesn't matter if they've been on drugs, it doesn't matter if they've been at their wit's end, it doesn't matter if they've been out of their mind, it doesn't matter what challenges they've ever had. I tell you what, I stand here today telling you that I have a full expectation that God can heal and deliver and set free anybody no matter where they're at. And I want you to know that it's time for us to be the church that would sit there and believe. Oh yeah, I've got a scripture one more minute. Because some of you think it might be okay to say, "Well, look like something happened to him. Praise God, I hope they don't go back to the Bible, but I bet they will. I'll give them a month to look at it. They've done this before. I've known this guy for 40 years. I've got to tell you, Pastor, this is about the fifth time and the fifth blast, but every time he gets so drunk, he goes through the crowd and he comes to church for a while." No, that's not what we're looking for, and that's not what our expectation is. I want you to be as bold as Jesus. I won't tell you what he goes to church here, because I'm telling you. A couple weeks from now, he'll be back on drugs, and then everybody's going to know that he's going to tell you, "Oh, it's just a thing." No, no, no. I want you to see what Jesus did with this young man when he restored him, even though everybody else was afraid. I want you to hear what Jesus said. "They got so afraid that they that saw it told them how it befell to him and was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast." They wanted Jesus, and they wanted this wild man to leave. They just didn't want no parts of this. "And when he was come into the ship," Jesus, "he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." You know, even the man that was set free was concerned that if he didn't just stay right there where he could visibly see Jesus, that this may be something for them. But he had a zeal to be a part of this new life. Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, "Go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I want to know, as a church today, could we have the town drunk, the town alcoholic, whoever that may be, the town drug addict, the town person who slept around and done a number of variety of other things, could we have them come here, get saved, get changed, pat them on the back and say, "Oh, God," and now represent the church, represent Jesus, and tell your story of you, and have a great confidence that they would never return back to where they came from? I mean, think about Jesus looking at a man that just a few short hours ago, or even a day or so ago, pulled him out of the house, left him out, cut up, no clothes on, half naked. No telling how long before he'd ever taken a bath. Hallelujah. My goodness. And in one day, he comes, sits down with clothes on, and the first time in how long has a normal conversation with him, because he did that, he had confidence to say, "No, I trust you to stay right here. I trust you to be in your home. I trust you to be around family. I trust you to be around this whole community you used to terrorize, and I trust that from this day forward, you're going to live out the identity that I've always had." Now, with that being said, I want us to think about ourselves. Even though we live in the liberty of salvation, and even though we walk through that door believing that Jesus is forever the Lord, have we really allowed Jesus enough room to make us completely transformed in the ways of our weakness? Is there any places that we're still holding on to? Is there any places that intimidate us where we don't even trust ourselves the way Jesus trusted the man from the tomb? Tell you what, it's time for you to accept your whole identity. Time for you to be bold enough to say, "This is who I am, not by my own power, but because of what God has done for me." You know, I am my God. Hallelujah. I'm not a burden to someone, I'm a doer. I'm not going to bring destruction to life, I'm going to bring peace, goodness, faith, prayer, blessing. And I'll tell you what, it's time for totally set free from our yesterday. Totally forgiven from our past. Remember Paul, the killer Christian, said, "This grace given to me was not in vain, because I stand here before you telling you I have no blood on my hands." He said that in the very same setting where there was people that knew he was killing Christians. But he said, "Today I'm free." What did he say? "The blood of Jesus has really took all of my condemnation away, all of my guilt and shame away. I'm not looking for judgment in my future. I'm not looking to believe that my life is going to fall apart. I'm looking to believe that we're going to journey towards the kingdom." Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that right now, God, every person here, God, would believe you for the destiny and the blessing that you truly want to put on their life. God, I pray that every one of us, God, would be so thankful for where you've brought us, but God, also that we would not be afraid of our tomorrow. You know, Lord, as we look to build this new church, God, I thank you that every person here needs to receive a confirmation that you trust them to touch more lives. Father, you're a God that protects. Lord, the Bible says that you could have took them out of the wilderness on a fasted journey, but you took them a certain way so they wouldn't see war, so that they wouldn't be afraid and turn back. But God, the very fact that you're bringing us into more places of accountability and responsibility, the place where we're going to touch more lives, should let everybody feel now that the confidence you have in this man is the confidence you have in you. God, let every person rise up to the calling. God, let them be the fathers that they're supposed to be, the husbands they're supposed to be, the wives and the mothers, the sisters and the brothers, the friends and the family of faith. God, because they're needed. They're loved, they're trusted. Their destiny counts, their purpose is meaningful, God. And Lord, we thank you that every one of us will step into the new places that you have for us. And God, I thank you that we never have to do any of this on our own. Because Christ in us is the hope of glory, and Christ in us is the one that will strengthen us and help us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.